Blog Talk Radio.
Watching you as you're dreaming, the dreams I thought I knew. Your smile shows the reason I watched it all come true. Your touch is cold and distant, and I still loving you. I'm walking down
a team of voices, and it's presenting the Liquid Damage Lounge with Liquid Damage, and that's me. Yay! Welcome to a team of voices radio, everybody. It's sponsored by AP Taylor Poetry, and our group is filled with love and respect. We're all so happy to see you here, and we're poets from all over the globe with listeners from over 60 countries. That's amazing. The hosting team offers a variety of programs for your entertainment. There is something different going on nearly every night of the week. You never know what we have up our sleeve, like jokes, poetry games, slams, talk shows, magic tricks, contests, and special events with poetic topics from A to Z. And you are invited to join us for all the fun. Just click to listen to the live show and hear any pre-recorded episode. We're so glad that you made it here tonight. We have Carmine. Hi, Carmine.
Hiya, my dear. It's so wonderful being with the friends tonight.
Great. And we have Hatter. Hi, Hatter. You just chimed in.
Yes,
Hatter.
Yes, 75 countries.
How are you?
I'm okay.
Good.
I'm okay.
And we have AP. Hi, AP. Good. Everything's great. We got a lot of snow up here in Alaska. It snowed a bunch this last week. Yeah.
That's something we don't have down here.
My husband, who just had his knee replaced a month ago, has been out there shoveling snow. Yeah, but he's doing great. You know, I had to take care of him for the first couple of weeks, but he's doing full rotations on the bike already, and he can drive the car. Yeah, in a month, he's made it that far. And so... he's going to go to the store tomorrow, I think, so he can do, like, the car. And, we're doing good. He's been shoveling that snow, and other than that, you know, it's Alaska.
You're going to get snow.
How's it in Australia, AP?
Start to get warm. It's Oregon, she's up about 85 today.
Wow.
So
that's funny.
We haven't started to get hot yet. They're just practicing.
Yeah. It was beautiful weather when I was down there. Weather was nice.
Yeah, you got sick of it, Hatter. Mm. That was the best time of year.
Right.
It's
about
80 degrees here now in Cape Coral, Florida. We've had a lot of rain, but it's very pleasant. Very pleasant.
Oh, California, we're in mid-storm. We got rain too, a lot of it up north. See if we don't flood.
Wow. Yeah.
Yeah,
we're supposed to warm up
welcome.
Though.
In Alaska?
My husband says, no, we're not, but yeah. It was, somebody said that the weather station said that we're supposed to warm up a little bit. It's down to 15 degrees.
That's cold.
So it's cold.
That is cold. Yeah.
So anyway, we have some wonderful poetry. Really? We have some wonderful poetry lined up for tonight. And next week we'll have a special guest. We have a 13-year-old that's dad said that he could do the show. So we're going to have a 13-year-old poet. Yeah. Yeah, I didn't know because when I passed out my invitations this month, he came back and said he couldn't do it. And that's all he said. And then he came back and said...
Right.
Because he's in school and he can't use a computer from school after hours. And so I'm like, how old is this guy? So then he comes back and he says, well, I'm 13. And I'm like, wow. And so then he comes back and says, well, my dad wants to know when your shows are. So I told him what times. And he comes back and says, well, my dad said I can do it next month.
We're gonna have
a youngin. Yeah.
Very good.
They always see the world from such innocent eyes, you know. And he sounds like he comes from a good family and
good.
Yeah. So I'm excited for that.
Absolutely.
And other than that, I guess we should get... Oh, I don't have my SoundClouds yet. Huh.
Oh. Well, we can just do others while that's happening.
Yeah, we could do that. I guess we can start with Heavenly Angel. And co-writing with Easy Rider. Can you grab that for me, AP?
Sure can. Let me grab that and put it up on the board. So this is Heavenly Angel. And are you happy for me to read, Linda?
Would you like to read it?
Happy to read it, if you'd like.
Let me get down there.
Or you could read it, up to you. Your show.
Uh-oh. Yeah, go ahead.
I
want to read Obanex's poem.
Okay.
When we get there.
Okay.
So.
Catter, do you need to go quickly? Is that why you're up on the board?
Not in a big hurry. I have several minutes, 20, 30 minutes maybe. So there's no hurry.
Okay.
I just wanted to put it somewhere
okay.
So I can get to it.
Just checking, Hatter. That's all. It's all good.
Yeah.
This is Love Blossoms, a collaboration with Easy Writer by Heavenly Angel. It goes a little bit like this. My mind, my heart, and my spirit glows in streams of myriad colours each time I think of you. Why I was so lucky, only heaven knows. Gazing unto your eyes, I see all of my wishes come true. I blossom like a bud opening to the warmth of your sun. My pulse quickens to your every touch. Each beat of my heart says you are for me the only one. I just can't help it, hon. I just love you so very much. Babe, you have made all of my hopes and dreams reality. Your two darling are the only one for me. That first kiss you won my heart, I can't deny. I promise you this, my love for you shan't ever die. You came to me like a breeze of soft whispers that spring. I felt love that I had never before. You made my heart sing. Unlike candle, the flame of our love won't ever burn out. You are everything, my angel, that true love is about. End poem.
Beautiful, beautifully read, AP. This was such a nice poem. Again, she's painted the pages with star-crossed love and the color shine. You guys just have a way of writing seamless collaborative poetry. My favorite part is, unlike a candle, the flame of our love won't ever burn out. You are everything, my angel. That's true love is about. A perfect way to say I love you from one to another. Beautiful writing from my lovely friends. I want to thank Heavenly Angel and Easy Writer for this incredible piece of love. It should be cherished forever. Thank you, guys. Let me get you some comments. Carmine.
Well, I tell you right now, that is such a beautiful poem by Easy Writer, and also Heavenly Angel as a testimony of their love. And she says, well, you know, their love is everything that true love is all about. They have tasted the essence of love, which is the prime mover of all things. And their wishes have come true, will come true because of their love. Their hopes and dreams are reality because of that love. And so, you know, how can it not come out in their expressions, and let the pen just smile every time it puts a word down? And so, you know, there it is. I mean, you can't deny it. Love is the most beautiful gift that the world and our Heavenly Father can offer. And they, I believe, have it by what they say. So they did an excellent job, and they always do. They never disappoint us, and bless their hearts.
Right. Nice comment, Carmine. AP.
Yeah, it's got lovely rhythm and lovely flow, but I'm with Carmine. I think the thing that's most powerful about the piece is just the connection between the two writers, and I'm sure even though they've been writing a long time, it takes a lot of time, effort and energy to keep that connection, to keep that same degree of power and that comes through in their writing and just fantastic work.
Yeah. You know what I think? I think how can they have been writing this long together and still have something new to say about each other? You know, some of it's the same, but a lot of it is new, wonderful stuff. And that's just an incredible thing. So they really have to feel that in their hearts for that to go over, you know, for it to be real. So.
Yes.
I
agree.
Hatter, what did you think?
This is a masterpiece. You put a couple of yees and thous in there, you've got the Romeo and Juliet, you know. It's beautifully written. It's great, great beginning.
Yeah.
My mind, my heart, my spirit glows. And all the way through it, there's just these beautiful lines. Beautiful.
All right. Well, you know, since we have this one beautiful one, I'm going to read Obanex. Can you grab that for me, AP?
Of course I can. Now, Obanex is from Africa somewhere, from memory. Is that right?
I believe so, yeah. How come I'm not getting this on my board?
Hold on. Just bear with me for a tick. It's just coming. There now.
What's the name of the work, my dear?
Oh, there we go.
It is
The Soul,
the Soul of the Rose. It should be up there now.
Beautiful.
From Nigeria.
Yeah. Carmine, you got it?
Yes, I do.
Okay, is everybody ready?
Yes.
All yours,
this is called The Soul of the Rose by Obanex. From the painting of John William Waterhouse. In rose twists her hair, red hair, her twists her rare red hair goes, in rich patterns of green gown flows. To the briar-crowned wall she draws close, to pluck a rose nigh to her nose. Like a violin, the hand bows. Languor comes over her with blows, for the breath rich of the rose to be drawn to pleasure it sows. Her series of solid it slows, her heart on its soul takes repose. Its intimate blown beauty glows, from which her heart delighted goes, drives her eyes shut. Her face she shows, up where the rays down the sun throws. To its allure her heart she owes, which sunlight must her heart it stows. You know, for some reason, I think that's one of the prettiest poems I've ever heard. And like I wrote earlier, it's life and love and whimsy all in one. It speaks for itself in words that inspire the heart and lift the soul to heights higher than the sun. My favorite part of this poem is its intimate blown beauty glows from which her heart delighted grows. The lines in this poem are just so rich. I want to thank Obanex for filling my heart and putting a smile on my face. Truly a work of art. Thank you, Obanex, for participating tonight, and I hope you will come again next month, December 8th or 15th. That would be lovely. Anyway, let me get you some more comments. AP.
It's lovely. Lovely little couplets, aren't they? The rhymes are wonderful, but I'm with you. It's intimate blown beauty grows from which her heart delighted grows. It's just beautiful. It's just lovely.
Yeah, I kind of blew it reading it, but I had practiced it earlier and it came out.
No.
I hope I didn't rape it so really badly.
No, I don't think you did.
Okay.
I think
cool. Hatter.
Yeah, I think, you know, to pick one rhyming sound and write those couplets to it, I don't think I would try it, but for some reason, I like it every time I see it done. Is there a name for this type, AP?
Not to my knowledge.
Just they're just couplets.
Yeah.
With the same
beautifully
sound.
Done.
Yeah.
The painting. You know, the painting is so beautiful when you look at just the painting itself without the words. It's so...
Yes.
It just brings you in and sucks you in. You want to be there. And then you read the words, and it's like, wow, that is so beautiful.
So
I loved it.
If there was a thought bubble up there with what is she saying in the picture?
Yeah.
No.
Carmine.
Well, I find it's very interesting because he has a very clever rhyme scheme here with the same rhyme, and of course the couplets actually generate an easy flow, a very free flow of the work. His wording is excellent to capture the picture of the colors, especially the red and the green. I see that in my thinking that the rose is a symbol of hope, and it's very delightful to her heart, of course, smelling the aroma of the rose. She has some good similes, metaphors, and... he did an excellent job.
Yeah.
Something that's a little different, but very effective. Very effective. That's not easy to do with something like that. So he should be commended.
Right. Yeah. Yeah. Excellent. I think that's all. Let me cross this off. And who are we going to have next? Let's see, did you bring a joke there, Carmine?
Well, yeah, what's the difference between a car and a fish?
Cool.
A car
you
and
don't know
a
what
fish.
Is the difference between a car and a fish? Well, let's face it.
What is the difference?
You can tune a car, but you can't tune a fish.
You can't tune a fish. Wah, wah, wah. I knew that one. Okay. What sits at the bottom of the sea and twitches?
Jellyfish?
I don't know.
Good guess, AP. Give up?
Oh, yeah.
Yep.
Okay, a nervous wreck.
Ah!
Yeah. Hey, Linda.
Okay.
Linda, what do you call a tired bull? What do you call a tired bull?
I don't know. What did you call a tired bull?
A bulldozer.
Oh, very good. Very good.
I
like
that.
Okay, let's see. I don't have my channel clouds yet.
We have to get hat palms.
So let's go ahead and get Carmine's The Meadow up there.
Okay.
Can you do that, AP?
I can do that. I'm just
busy
painting room and stuff. That's what I'm doing at the minute. So if you're wondering what I'm doing in the background. Now let's get Carmine's up.
Just let me know when to go, my dear.
I'll let you know. Not yet.
I'm ready.
And it is on the board, and we do have to do Hatters soon, Linda, but this is Carmine's Palm on the board now.
On the board now. Oops, I got to refresh. Okay, that's not working. Do you see it, Carmine?
Oh, I have it, yes. Oh, I have it.
Oh, my hands are double tapping. And
I have it.
So, well, you can go ahead and start reading it anytime you'd like.
Okay. The meadow. Soft, soft, soft. The silent, serene sound of the breeze whispers through the meadow, home of the bumblebee and hummingbird, wide, wide, flushed with the aurora of autumn colors, sunny yellow, blazing red, bright orange and brown, stretch far, far through the surrounding hills, a dazzling sight blending into mountains of awesome splendor. Soft, soft, soft the meadow, like the face of a child, becomes the face of fear, a time of year when hunters appear, stealing the peace that once prevailed. Soft, no more. The meadow, soon in a blanket of white, like a silent night sleeps, soft, soft, to awaken in a burst of new life, deer, rabbit, bear everywhere, among daisies, daffodils, dandelions, hummingbirds, and bees. Soft, 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 the silent, serene sound of the breeze, like before, whispers through the meadow once more.
Wow. Ooh, Carmine, you as well have painted a most incredible piece of art. Your colors are exquisite and your imagery is so very lovely. I can just smell the fresh air and the flowers blooming. My favorite part is wide, wide, flushed with the aurora of autumn colors, yellow, sunny, red blazing, orange, bright, and pink, shocking, stretch far, far to the brink of my surrounding hills, a dazzling sight blending into the mountain of awesome splendor, just beautiful, and so much heart went into the writing, I can just tell. Thank you so much, Carmine, for this beautiful piece of poetry.
Thank you, my dear.
Yeah, it's really pretty. Hatter.
Yeah, a very descriptive. Cameron's got a way of painting with his words, I guess you'd have to say. No, it's very good. Very good.
Cool. AP.
Yeah, I liked the repetition and the difference in the texture when there's just nature, but then you put a human being in there and it somehow seems to manage to change it all of its own accord, and it seems to be the way of the world. So I really liked I liked the poem, and I liked the sense of the poem as well.
Yeah, beautiful. I really liked the use of the color in there, just made it pop, and brought out a different feeling of the poetry. I love when you guys use that color in there. Deborah Lee started that, using color in the color bank, and I wrote for her for a couple of years, and when I was using the color bank, my poetry was really good. It popped more. So yeah, use the color. Thank Deborah Lee. Beautifully done. Thank you, Carmine.
You're welcome, my dear, and I appreciate the comments with the heartfelt thank yous.
Okay. We have one from a new poet. Just told me. Would you like, Hatter, can you grab that? Because I think AP's painting.
No, I'm okay. I'm good.
You're
okay? I just wanted to get Hatter to do his piece before I ran out of time. That's all, Linda.
Oh, okay. Well, if you can grab, it's called Just Old Me by that. It's from Just Old Me, and it's called
yes.
That Good Gift.
Yeah, we can do that.
Okay, that's perfect.
Where are we going? Come back. Just Old Me, here we go. And where did you go back? It's on Team of Horses. It is on Team of Horses. Hold on. Bear with me 2 seconds.
Should be on there.
Doing something strange for me. Linda,
not,
just one tick.
Not quite yet. It's not coming up?
No. There.
Oh, there we go.
There now. Yep.
It's there now. And we need a reader for this. Hatter, would you like to read it?
Okay. He may not be.
How about Carmine? Would you like to read this poem, Carmine?
Yes, I'll read it if it's okay.
Of course
Do
it's
not go
okay.
gentle into that good gift. New toys should yearn for you to open them. Praise goes to the treasure that you lift. Though wise boys at their end know, 'twill be thrift, because their things will fade, no more sheen. Do not go gentle into that good gift. Good boys, the last card nigh, crying how swift their old toys shone no more as a dull gem. Praise goes to the treasure that you lift. Wild boys, who fight and float on boats adrift and learn too late. They grieve it and condemn. Do not go gentle into that good gift. Grave boys, near bed, who see with sight that smift, drooped eyes do glaze like windows in phlegm. Praise, praise goes to the treasure that you lift. And you, my son, there on that sad cliff, curse, bless me now with your tears, all of them. Do not be gentle into that good gift. Praise, praise goes to the treasure that you lift.
Wow. This is truly a creative and beautiful piece of art. And let me say, Carmine, you did a wonderful job reading it. He's done Dylan Thomas well. The imagery in this is nostalgic and brought back many memories of me and my brothers fighting over which color truck do we get, or who gets the dump truck and who gets the cement truck. Always my favorite. But my favorite part of this poem is the wild boys who fight and float on boats adrift and learn too late. They grieve it and condemn. Do not go gentle into that good gift. Excellent writing, and this not only brought back good memories, it made me call my brother. So thank you. Please come back again. I think he's from Australia as well. I'm not sure. But, yeah, very nice poem. And Carmine, you read it. You want to comment on it?
Yes. This is a reality work. I mean, I really appreciate it because good gifts should always be appreciated. However, nothing lasts forever, and the shine soon goes, but the memory lives on. And so we must enjoy it whenever we can. It's a very thoughtful work, and it includes all kinds of people of all ages, the ones with the toys, the ones with the gifts that are given to them at their weddings and also their anniversaries. And so we have to be mindful that we have to go gentle with a good gift because it's not forever. And that's a very powerful thought. And he should be highly commended for it. Yep, just old me did it.
Right on. Good comment, Carmine. Right on. AP, what did you think?
Well, it's a classic poem, isn't it? Don't go gentle into the good night.
Yeah.
Just old me from California, by the way. It's an interesting poem because, you know, most people actually do go gently into the night, and this poem's asking you not to. And there's been many rewrites since, but I like this one. Very well read, and it appealed to me, and I think that's because of the way that the poem was written, what it was written about, and the words and the sense of the optimism and positiveness in the poem.
Right on. Yeah. Heather.
Oh,
There you are.
I'm muted, yeah. This is a lot deeper than it appears to read it again. I like the storyline. To be not gentle is a good gift. New toys. No wise boys at their end. Good Boys, Wild Boys, Brave Boys. This is well structured, well thought out. Pretty good.
Yeah. Beautiful. Well, you guys. A woman in labor just shouted, shouldn't, wouldn't, couldn't, didn't, can't. Don't worry, said the doctor. Those are just contractions.
Cute.
I thought that was funny.
Very.
I guess you'd have to be a woman to get it.
I was going to say, you know, I think, you know, you've got a male audience there, Linda. You're pushing it uphill.
Right. Let me see. What did the bald man say when you received a comb for a present?
What did the bald man say when you received a comb for a present?
Mm-hmm. Right.
And I have no idea.
Thanks. I'll never part with it.
Oh, my goodness.
Yes, yes.
Linda, can I read mine?
Of course you can. Anything you want.
Do you see it up there?
I don't.
Should be up for 7. Just scroll back if it's not up there yet. New one.
Oh, I see it. Try to walk, but I will always run. I try to. Okay.
Yep, got it, Hedda.
That's a good picture.
It was written to the prompt.
Very nice.
Somewhere over the horizon, you dance with angels among the clouds. A heavenly angel. It goes like this. Time has taken what was once free, those things I held inside of me. Your heartbeat they felt when pressed so near. I watched the sun rise slowly inside your eyes and the moon and the stars you gave to me through the dark and the distant sky. Tell me true, is that you that called me out by name? In my dreams, the echoes screams that fell with the pouring rain. I wrote a verse that made it worse, that made things worse. 100 ways, 1,000 times before. Among the gathered, I saw what mattered from the corner above the door. Wheeling deals within the madness, warning tomorrow of the sadness. Reflections from the setting sun, shooting prisms from rainbow guns, selling dreams that come undone. I try to walk, but will always run. Back to you.
Aww. Hedda. That's such a pretty poem. My goodness.
Well, it was the heavenly angel. Had to be.
Yeah. I don't even know what to say. Your rhyming in this is very, very cool, but that's just part of the poem. And it's not even the good part. The good part of the poem is it's written with just heart and soul. Wow, this is so pretty. You knocked it out of the ballpark, my friend. This should win a prize for the day, I think. Very nice, Hatter. My goodness. I don't even know what my favorite part is. Tell me true, was that you that called out my name? In my dreams that echoed screams that fell with pouring rain. Each verse is just so, it's so deep and so beautifully written. Thank you, Hatter.
Well, thank you.
Let me get you some more comments. Carmine.
Yeah, oh, Mr. Hatter. That's a very personal, very in-depth poem. When you mentioned that, of course, walking, that when we walk through life, of course, there are many things that we have to watch. And sometimes we walk slow, sometimes we walk fast. But all the things that we walk for are, well, for either ourselves or for somebody else. But that one aspect that really touched me was the fact that even though I do the walking, when it comes to you, I always run to you. And so that's so sincere and so in-depth in respect to one's emotional feelings for and towards somebody else, which in itself is poetically, musically beautiful. And if a person heard that, you know, or read the poem in respect to her being or his being on the opposite end, would be extremely moved. And that's what you did. You know, you moved the reader because you say, you know, that happened to me too. I run to my wife. My wife runs to me. And in doing so, it'll always be, what, forever love. And beautiful. Oh, Mr. Hattie, you did it again. Thank you.
Yes, he did. Yeah, he pulled my heartstrings. AP.
Yeah, well, that's what Hattie does. He sets out to get people and get them by the heartstrings and pull them on in. And, you know, he it's almost like he's got the sort of rod and reel out, and he goes and trolls the sort of worms out where the fish are and sort of, you know, wallows it around a bit and he just catches them all as they go past. And that's Hatter when it comes to this sort of ride. I mean, he does it better than just about anybody I know.
Well, thank you, AP.
And before we go any further, I'd like to welcome Deb to the show. Hi, Deb.
Hello there. Good to be here.
Got some time, or are you in a rush?
Yeah, I got about a half hour. And, Linda, I have to say that I actually giggled to the I'll Never Part With It. That was cute. Your riddle.
Oh, that's right.
Yeah.
Very funny. At least somebody laughed. Did you laugh about the wine or about the woman in labor?
When I got here, you were telling the joke about the comb.
Oh, a woman in labor just shouted, shouldn't, wouldn't, couldn't, didn't, can't. Don't worry, said the doctor. Those are just contractions.
Oh, boy. I like the comb better, doll.
Yeah. Oh, well. Okay, well, let's see.
I got to go. Linda, I got to go. Thanks for letting me read.
Oh, okay.
Thanks, Hatter.
Thanks, Hatter.
Yep.
You got me
again.
Hi,
guys.
Okay.
How to make a Thanksgiving topic.
I guess I'll do mine. Can we grab mine, AP?
Of course we can. Linda?
I am the king.
Changing my mind. That's what I'm doing with the bird. It's going darker, if you're wondering what I'm doing.
And then we'll do Deb's next.
Perfect. No, we can do that. It's I Am the King. Is that right?
Yes.
Linda? Beautiful.
Yes, I Am the King. Uh-oh.
And it is up on the board now.
There we go. Okay. Did you get it, Carmine?
I have it. I love the picture.
Isn't that great? All right, everybody. I Am the King by Liquid Damage. I Am the King. That's just how it goes. And if you are smart, you should probably know. I rule the Sahara. I do it quite well. Because I am the king, the big cat from hell. No worries I have because I am the king. I usually don't worry about anything. Then came a man with a loaded gun. I thought to myself, this couldn't be fun. He followed my pride, but he didn't see me. I snuck in the bushes so he couldn't see. He aimed his big gun and shot, but he missed it. I'm glad he didn't shoot, my dear lion misses. Now I'm not happy at all. I know that his mission is make one of us fall. So slowly I watched him and realized he looked yummy. I'd like nothing more than get him in my tummy. I pounced and I ate him, and so now that is that. I ate his gun too, and also his hat. Now in the tree is where I do lurk. I'm taking a nap after eating the jerk. End poem.
Huge.
Anybody going to call comments for her?
Oh, well, I'll start.
Well, Linda, if I may say, that's a very funny and witty poem. You really don't mess with the king because, especially if you're trying to kill my missus. he's got that revenge there, and when he acts on the revenge, well, bad news for the guy who tried it. I love the pattern of the flow, and I love the vivid rhyme, and also, you know, the twist at the end, like I keep on telling you, is a puppet. And when he eats the hat, the gun, that's the finality of everything. So Lenny did a great job, and much commendation on this. Much commendation. Being the king, you don't mess with the king.
That's right. Don't mess with the king. Thank you very much, Carmine.
Well, you're most welcome, dear.
AP?
It did have a sort of sense of, you know, Muhammad Ali with, you know, don't go messing with me style thing going down there, Linda. And it came through in how you started reading it, and it came through in the words. And I particularly like the fact that not only ate him, but ate the hat and the gun to go with it. And I thought it was very well written and very cute.
Thank you, AP.
And Hatter,
thank you very much.
Linda, I keep telling you over and over again, you really need to put your poems like these into a book, like for third or fourth graders, because they're always great with the rhyme. They're a little bit of funny, and this one a little bit of deadly, but you're just so good at this particular genre with these. The only thing that was missing was your moral of the story, but I'm just kidding. Your rhyme and your flow and your storytelling combined is always so much fun. Great job.
Thank you, Dad. Thank you. Yeah, I'm going to get it together soon. I promise. And I just went through a bunch of my poetry the other day, and I'm starting to find pieces that I forgot I had that would be good in my book. So it's going to get there. Okay. We're going to do Deb's next. Can you grab Deb's, AP?
I can.
The night I disappeared forever.
I suspect she'll beat me to it. She usually does.
mute.
Hey, Deb, did you get my SoundCloud?
I did. You should have three of them at the top of the studio. If not, you logged in or just refresh.
So what do I do? Yeah, I logged in early because I was expecting somebody to call early.
Right.
But I can't do that?
Yeah. You see up there by the address bar?
What's that?
Where it says, I don't know what you're looking at right now, where your tab is, click on my poem.
Click on my poem?
Anybody's poem.
Okay, I'll click on my poem.
Okay, you'll see up in the address window, you'll see like your name at the end and the title of your poem, that link in there that where you would copy and paste. Okay, now, right in front of that is a little lock, like a lock and key.
Yeah.
And then to the left of that, there should be an almost circle with a little arrow in it.
Right.
Click the almost circle on the studio one, and it will refresh your studio. So where you see it say, it should end with ASPX in your address bar this time. And just go over to that little circle.
Here we go.
There you go.
Voila.
And then the first three, it should be, since they're alphabetical, it should say Frank, Phil, Titus.
Yes. There you go.
All right. Whenever you log in early, you should always refresh real quick just before your show in case I've added stuff for you.
Oh, okay. Right on. Okay. Well, thank you for that.
You're very welcome.
Okay.
Okay, and I have a phone call. At night, I disappeared forever.
Okay, wait a minute. Where's... There we go. Great
picture.
Okay,
and pretty wicked, huh? It was a couple quotes from the book, The Turn of the Screw, that were the prompt. But here we go. Hibiscus and magnolia shrubs are in bloom, dotting the hillside view from my porch swing. Breezes rock the sequoia trees in the grove, and nesting chickadees in the treetops sing. Dogwood and cedar fill thickets by the shed. Sunlight peeks through and shadows dance, moving and grooving from the gusted winds as tree bunnies hop and baby deer prance. The sunset stripes the sky in pink and peach, then the sunball falls in the landscape view, covering the pastel color and the black on the sky till the moon rises and lights the ebony hue. Step in the house to eat, then dress for bed, and spot myself in the mirror on the bedroom wall. But my eyes spy two faces in that wall mirror, mine and a chalky white man's thin and tall. Swing around to see, but the face is not there. The hall window shows smudges on the glass. Twisting back to the mirror, I spot the face staring back at me just as cold shadows pass. The mirror liquefies, then a hand reaches out, grabbing me by the throat and yanking me in, stealing my breath, then trapping me inside. A ghost face in the mirror now wears my grin. And
well, oh my, Deb. I just love how you write a lovely story and then end it with a spooky ending. You do that quite well. And this one is so eerie, it gave me a chill. My favorite part of this poem is that mirror liquefies, then a hand reaches out, grabbing me by the throat and yanking me in, stealing my breath and trapping me inside, a ghost face in the mirror now wears my grin. Excellent writing. And the imagery in this is like shrieks for the horrific tune it hears. Your rhyme scheme is really well done, kind of soft, you know. Anyway, Deb, I love the whole thing, and thank you for participating tonight. And will you please come back next time? I love having you.
Sure will, and thank you for the great comment.
And I got your area code this time.
Yes, I did.
I didn't have to ask who's 856.
Yep, you sure didn't. I did notice.
Right on. Okay, let's get you some comments there. Carmine.
Well, you know, that's a beautiful poem. It shows excellent diversity. It's beautifully expressed imagery. It's like looking out, you know, country home window and seeing all the beautiful aspects of the country. And then it becomes mysterious because there's an encounter in a mirror in the bedroom and being caught by a ghost who wears her grin. It's haunting. And then, of course, from the bright to the dark imagery is quite a change there. It's not stagnant, and it's beautiful. As you mentioned, the rhyme scheme is very good, and of course the flow of it is excellent. So, my dear, you know, you would get an A+ from yours truly in respect to this work because, number one, it's different. And number two, it shows your talent. It shows the variance of your imagery just coming out and capturing the reader into wow. I can't believe it, and I can't, but the way you put it, I believe it. So, bravo, great. You did good. Okay, did a fine job, my dear.
What an awesome comment. And I have to say that an A+ is one of my favorite things. Thank you.
Right on. Okay, AP, what did you think?
I love descriptive words, particularly at the starts of the first couple of stanzas, the hibiscus and magnolia, because you can see those plants and you can see the sort of richness of them. And then the dogwood and the cedar in the second stanza about the trees. And it just gives you a real sense of the place that you're looking at because they're such good words and so well used.
Thanks so much.
Awesome. Very cool. Okay. Let's see. How do you count cows?
I don't know.
With a calculator.
Oh.
Come on,
hey,
guys.
Linda, I want to ask a question. Hey, Linda.
What?
Where do you find a cow with no legs?
A cow with
right
no
where
legs.
You left it.
Oh. That's a good one. I like it.
I mean, speaking of cows, let's say that I had squeezed it in there. I'm sorry, but that was too good an opportunity. So thank you.
What do you call a guy with no arms and legs in a pile of leaves?
What do you call a what? A guy with no arms and legs in a pile of leaves?
That's right.
That's a good
What's
question.
What's his name?
What do you call him?
Russell.
Nope. Ah.
Oh, okay. Okay. Yeah. Okay.
What do you call him on the front porch?
A doorman.
Matt. What do you call them in a hole?
Phil?
Very good. And these are all my own. I forget now, but yeah. Okay, let's carry on. We got some SoundClouds to do, and I think Frank is up first.
Well, I'll grab Frank's palm and put it on the board.
Thank you very much, AP. La 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 la.
Oops. And it's there now, Linda, if you want to hit
the sound. There we go. There we go there, and I will start the SoundCloud. Right.
What's the title again, dear?
Bubba.
Amidst the raw area of a distant town in the lone star state of Texas, there is a gripping tear unleashed by the unyielding wrath of the devil, a madman called by unbidden gas, bearing the guise of an unusual mask, designed from the peeled skin layers of the numerous faces of victims, a macabre obsession for the perverted taste of human flesh. Behind the rows of thick cotton fields is the solitary white house of hell, where thousands of bones and skulls are piled inside the burning furnace. From the creepy cellar of the unthinkable, gruesome carnage, a stench of crimson blood pervades over the grisly fumes. Eerie echoes of haunting screams resound throughout the killing fields, where the scarecrows of mutilated bodies hang as a daunting reminder, and the ebony crows pluck their eyeballs beneath the fibres of straw. The feasting maggots come out of the dried mouths in the droves. A family of cannibals dine on the cooked well-done meat of victims. Psychotic minds of the servants of death and unspeakable horror, they prey on the menacing fears of the fragile minds of people. It is there in the awful pit of the cellar that burns the fiery furnace, near the rows of the decapitated heads aligned in other body parts. The Ancient of Hell performs his skilled surgical masterpieces of human art. But if you dare to enter the cellar, beware of the madman in the mask. Beware of the stripperous sound of the luciferous chainsaw of Bubba.
Wow.
Oh, beware of the luciferous chainsaw of Bubba. Oh, if you listen closely, you can hear him.
This was beyond gross. It borders on the line of hideous and horrendous. Your perfect knowledge of detail is haunting, but gives a great sense of reality to the piece. Oh my gosh, when I read this, it makes my skin crawl. My favorite part is probably verse 5, where it says, "It is there in the awful pit of the cellar that burns the fiery furnace." near the rows of the decapitated heads aligned in other body parts. The agent of hell performs his skilled surgical masterpieces of human art. But if you dare to enter the cellar, beware of the madman in the mask. Just great writing, my friend. And remember, you are always the sergeant of scary, the deputy of doom and despair, but mostly the master of macabre. Just got to love this, and I thank you, Frank, our Francisco, for participating tonight. Please come back next time. Your stuff is just too awesome not to hear. Thanks, Frank. And let me get you some comments. Deborah Lee.
Yeah, you know, Linda, I have to say this was one of the ones that everybody freaked out over because he has such a theatrical way in his presentation. It's like these little mini radio shows from back in the day type of thing. And that laugh was one of the, it turned around and people all over the place were freaking out because he leaves that space and you think it's done and then you get like
right.
That voice at the end or the laughter. He's really so great at his presentations. And I think I'm trying to see what I wrote the last when I heard it the first. Oh, you know, when I heard it first. One of my favorite parts about it was that, and I'll put what I wrote, you scared the you-know-what out of Lady A. He terrified her, and I think it became, like, a fun thing to see who you could give the chills.
Right.
Awesome present. Yeah. Linda, check your inbox.
Oh. Let me see. Dum-da-dum-da-dum. Oh. Very funny. Okay. Well, I guess next we should do Phil and then Titus. Or let me see who's on the lineup. Yeah, we'll do Phil. If you could grab Phil, AP.
I can do that.
Oh, your painting's coming out brilliant. You did that so
fast. Yeah. But that's changing as we speak. It's getting a little bluer, as they say in the classics.
Yeah.
So it's on the board now, and I think you've got a SoundCloud there to play, Linda, is that right?
Yep, I sure do. I'm going to turn that up a little bit, not all the way. Because Phil tends to speak a little quiet. Okay, here we go.
There's a poem by Phil the Poet called A Soldier's Letter Home. My darling Jana, your letter arrived today. I've read it many times while lying in the medical bay. The sweet smell of your perfume reminds me of home. You give me hope to carry on through your innocent tone. There's a rumor that Napoleon is on his way north, trying to get to Moscow, so his army has gone forth. Tsar Alexander is a brave man and will not let the tyrant in. Maybe you should leave the city with Pyotr Dorokhin. The Battle of Borodino was a bloody affair that took us by surprise. Many said that they saw Napoleon with their own eyes. But I'm sure he will meet his match in General Kutuzov, who fights heroically for both Tsar and God above. It's good to hear that Karina remembers her papa. What a clever child recites such a difficult sonata. Tell Mama not to worry. that I have Philip Park is doing fine. And yes, for my stomach, I'm taking a glass of wine. Give my kindest regards to all. You are in my thoughts always. How I long to hold you like I did on those summer days. I send you 1,000 kisses until we meet again. Your loving and devoted husband, signed, Philip Sidnovich Malonin. End poem.
Wow. Well, Phil really brings it. This is this over-the-top, heart-wrenching stuff. I loved how he used the past to bring the future to life, and I love the history in this. Now, very sad that this poem really rings true. It's not just pretend, and a nice mixture of both. The part I liked best was, let's see, verse 4. It's good to hear that Karina remembers you, Papa. What a clever child to recite such a difficult sonata. Tell Mama not to worry. Tell her Philipok is doing fine. And yes, for my stomach, I'm taking a glass of wine. It's funny because the children are the ones that get hurt the most in war. It's nice to hear about one who is surviving. Great job, Phil, and nice touch. I want to thank you for the poignant piece of poetry and for coming to my show. It wouldn't be the same without you. Please come back next time. December 8th, that would be. Anyway, good poem, Phil. Carmine.
I'll tell you, Phil has an excellent poem here. But it's an inspiring letter filled with hope, but it's also one of reality because the reality has just never stopped in respect to the letter being received or written in time of war. Especially now in the Ukraine conflict. I'm quite sure that letters like this really move the reader or the writer. It's emotional. Remembrances. Very reflective account. I love the detail that he has in this work. I love the rhyme scheme. Extremely imaginative. Of course, I believe he had taken from War and Peace, but so he's got a very personal touch here, and actually a reality of what happened within the time of the wars with Napoleon. So we mentioned about, well, maybe sometime there will be peace, but we haven't found peace in our world, and I doubt if there ever will be. Not because of anything, but because of the greed and the corruption, wanting more and more, which is not what they should have. So Phil really did an excellent job here in writing one basic reality that we face constantly. Not peace, but war.
Great. AP.
Yeah, look, it's somewhat, you know, troubling that here we are 200 years after the Napoleonic Wars, and here we are again with all of these conflicts and battles around us, and we don't seem to have learnt very much, Linda, and the people who suffer the most and suffer the longest are those people who are sitting on the front lines and they're the people who are a long way from their loved ones, and this is what I think this poem picks up, and but also just a sense of, unfortunately, history repeating itself in some ways.
as we keep on going through the world, and I think Phil does a wonderful job of capturing that.
Yeah. Heather, did Heather drop?
I think he did, Linda. Yeah.
Well, it's just the three of us, guys, which is okay.
Well,
it only takes
well.
Three to make
three
a party, from what I hear, anyway.
Yeah. And Francisco Del Mar has been listening to us too on the podcast.
I got a message here. Okay, let's see. Titus has a piece that we should all listen to. Can you grab that, AP?
I can indeed, and I'll put it on the wall. Just one tick.
And I will turn it up.
Should be going on the wall straight after my revised bird picture. There you go.
Okay, let me get it on my... Okay. You got it, Carmine?
Is that Titus's work?
Yes.
That's Titus's work. Adorns a lovely drape.
Adorns a lowly drape?
Mm-hmm.
Yep.
Okay.
Yep. Everybody ready?
Yep.
Here we go.
Adorns a lovely drape. Divine comedy indeed, modern day. The welcoming bedroom, then come what may, with such profound standing as you, my dear. If I were to lay, suggests a peach, you'd leer. You would condone being stretched out upon courtly nuptials. The sunniest are drawn, describes a wanton bride by your bedside. Whispered dreams would hardly seem to confide, sat here. One can hardly listen, closer. Encroached upon you, being more a poser. Slovenly loose covers were to be pulled back in haste, but no. As I duly gave a flimsy smack, a plumped up pillow to wallow in, as you do. Captivating ways no other man can be due a woman's pangs, their hangs of submission. A throwback to ask me for permission. But if there is any bounce in that old thing, a morning tea will do until the late spring. Literally, a retrograde we opposites attract. Within this vantage point, distraction, tact, rarely serves these days a corona hitched high above. I bemoan it is highly pitched.
Well, that was Titus. And with the lovely poem called Adorns a Lovely Drape. As usual, Tony, you have adorned this page with a lovely drape, so sublime and with imagery that speaks of love and sensual emotions. I think the part I liked the best was, if I were to lay, suggests a peach, you'd leer, you would condone being stretched out upon courtly nuptials, the sunsets are drawn. That really caught my ear. This was truly beautiful, Tony, and I don't really need to tell you to keep up the good work, because you always do. It's second nature. I love having you on my show, Tony, and I'd like to see you next month. You're always welcome. And that reminds me, while I got time, I'd like to thank everybody, Carmine, AP, Hatter, Heavenly Angel, Obenex, Just Old Me, Deb, Frank, Phil, let me see, and Titus and Lawrence for being here tonight, having something on my show, because without you guys, I wouldn't have a show. You'd be sitting here listening to my stupid jokes. And I don't know how much fun that would be, but I think it would be fun. Huh? Huh, AP? Anyway, thank you all. Uh-huh. And let's get some comments on Titus's beautiful, beautiful poem. AP, what did you think?
It is a beautiful poem, and it is classically inspired by a piece from around the 13th century. And the reason that Titus, I think, does things so well is, A, he's a brilliant rhymer. Secondly, he's got lovely assonance and flow. And thirdly, he finds a way of bringing stories and bringing them from the past into today in a way that we can all relate to. And that's not easy. So, yeah, he always does a wonderful job.
Yeah. Yeah, he rocks it. Carmine.
Well, I want to say, it's somewhat sensual, but he's talking about... And I mentioned this glorious lady who's always on his mind. If you have seen the picture of Dante observing her walking,
adorns a lovely drape.
He's just mesmerized.
Uh-oh.
He's enraptured by her beauty.
Divine comedy, indeed, modern day.
The
welcoming bedroom then come what may with such profound standing.
Profound, and it's like you said, in standing, it's profound in his writing. He describes, like he says, a wanton bribe by your bedside. So there is the part of the dream that he has of her, even though he cannot be a part of her. And so this happens as far as men are concerned. And as far as the women are concerned, when they start having that image in their minds, and it just captures them, sometimes that's about all they think of. And sometimes they could get in trouble. But in this case, he brings it to life as a reality, but delicately, and there's where his gift is. And as far as the his work, it's very profound. You know, he does a great job, Old Titus.
Great comment, Carmine. Lovely. Let me see. Did you hear about the claustrophobic astronaut?
No.
No.
He just needed a little space.
Ah.
Yeah. How do you keep a bagel from getting away?
How do you keep a bagel from getting away?
Yeah.
No.
You put locks on it.
Hey, Linda, what does a storm cloud wear under his raincoat?
What does a storm cloud wear under his raincoat? I don't know, Carmine. What does a storm cloud wear under his raincoat?
Thunderwear.
Of course. Hey, AP, you got any jokes?
Not nearly as good as yours, Linda. You're on a roll here.
Am I? Why did a nurse need a red pin at work?
Why did the nurse need a red pin at work? I don't know.
In case she needs to draw blood.
Oh.
Okay,
Linda,
here's one.
Do you know what kind of keys are sweet?
What kind of keys?
Are sweet, Yes.
I don't know, Carmine. What kind of keys are sweet?
Cookies.
Ah.
Okay. What does Charles Dickens keep in his spice racks?
No, I'm kind of lost there. I mean, I love Charles Dickens, but I don't know what he keeps in his spice racks.
The best of times, the worst of times.
Ah.
Oh, okay. From A Tale of Two Cities. Right. Of course.
Yeah.
Linda, I'm going to just mention one more, and I'm quite sure, quite idea. Is that, what do you call a deer with one eye?
A deer with one eye. I don't know, Carmine. What do you call a deer with one eye?
I have no idea.
Very funny. Very funny. Let's see. We have one more. And it needs a reader. AP, would you like to read Lawrence?
Sure. I think I traditionally read Lawrence.
It's called A Made Man.
Okie doke. Putting it up on the board now.
Okay.
And it.
Come on.
Do a refresh. It's A Made Man by Lawrence 67. Can you see it, Linda?
No, I don't know what's doing it. Let me try this. Oh. I got to pull this down. Here we go.
Okay.
Now I see it. Yep, I got it. You got it, Carmine?
Yes, my dear.
Thank you, Doug. It's The Made Man by Lawrence 67. Goes a bit like this. Have you ever been out late at night with your boss, just having a great old time going from bar to bar, solo dancing, just having a blast? Knowing that if everything goes well, there may be a promotion out for you. But you're at closing hours hitting on that stripper when out of the corner of your eye to your surprise, you see Vinny the rat and Carmine the snitch. And your boss sees them also and puts 2 45s in each of their heads and hands you the weapon and tells you to handle it. He's got to go. So not wanting to mess up any shot at promotion, you throw the trash in the trunk of your car, grab a shovel and head out towards the desert. And once you get there, you finally realise you've never learned how to dig a big hole. Which side of the shovel should you hold? Well, never fear again. With Jubo's Ditch Digging Services at Jubo's, we have trained ditch diggers in all capacities. Everything from a gerbil-sized ditch to a family-sized mass grave here at Jubo's Ditch Digging Services. Where Jubo's motto is, we dig your ditch digging. We harbour a spundle.
Where does he come up with this stuff? Hilarious satire. You've done it again, Lawrence. Great storytelling, though. You're always giving me my gizzard a giggle, as my kidneys and liver, too. My favorite part is verse 5. We'll never... let me see. Oh, yeah. And once you get there, you finally realize that you never learned how to dig a hole. Which side of the shovel should you hold? I think that's funny. It's like, which foot do you put the sock on? But I think it was great stuff. And I love you for always being there for me. You rock. And let me get you some more comments. Carmine.
Well, you sure used my name in the kind of wrong place there, but that's okay. It's a funny story. His imagery is really amazing. It's quite direct, you know. The characters involved, well, of course, one is interested in a promotion, but then conflicting circumstances take place. As far as the variance of the change of the poetry is quite interesting because the guy can't even, you know, can't even dig a grave, and so they use some help from the Jubo's ditch digging services. That is very imaginative. So you see, you gotta give him credit for that, and of course there's a very fine flow. So Mr. Lawrence 67, I would say just keep on, right on, and we would definitely deeply appreciate your creativity. Thank you.
And you'll learn how to use a shovel one of these days. Right, Carmine?
Me? Well, I've done a lot of shoveling in my days, and I never found gold, but I found camaraderie, I found love among those who shoveled with me. And I tell you now, it proved very fruitful, especially when I worked in the garden with my father. We had not a shovel, but we had like a pitchfork. And, well, Dad and Grandpa were quite, you know, in the years, and so I did it. It was a large garden, but we did it. And in no time, we had such fantastic results. The fruits and the vegetables and everything were most accommodating to the family. And I was appreciated because my father definitely loved me. So the way he sacrificed to me, I returned it. And my shoveling has been blessed. Very, very blessed.
Right on. So we're getting towards the end of the show. Any more jokes there, Carmine?
I tell you what. What planet loves to sing?
Neptune. I've got a poem.
Right on.
Linda?
Oh, you've
all right,
got
Linda,
a poem?
All right, Linda, another question.
Well, let's hear it.
Why did the belt get arrested? Why did the belt get arrested?
Why did the belt get arrested? I don't know.
Because he was holding up some pants.
I can't believe
Very
it.
Very funny.
You need to refresh, Linda. I put one up on the board.
Okay. Let me send this off. And
with a little put. Stephen and Kay.
Yes. Carmine. There we go. Ape T. Uh-oh.
This was a little place for Stephen and Kay. Have you got it?
There we go. I got it. Oh, how pretty.
I didn't have a picture for this, so I went and painted that very quickly in about 10 minutes before the show.
Very
anyway,
nice.
Are you ready?
Yep.
Here we go. When the spring buds, they arrive,
and we find the lazy, tipsy flowers roll. Greens and yellows, they arise, and the withered roots, they heal, begin to grow. And in that little corner space, a piece of garden that we've sown, my seeds reach out with love, that's what we've grown. As the sun touches a weary bed, and the soil is warm through day and cool through night, waits for growth of purple and red, while the heat will keep you warm despite its spite. You're our garden's rearranger, more than blood and bone. Whatever is the weather, that's what we've grown. Grown maybe bulbs or a cactus spike, evergreen or flowering in June. Oh, high into the hills, shadows dawn far, shown as castor tendrils reaching you. My ready shade from strife, despite the odd mistake or leaf brown, long as I have you by my side, there's flowers above and colors on the ground. The wrapped is our parcel, fronds draping low, weeds forever douse with what we've grown. That's what we've grown. What we've grown.
In poem.
Wow. That was very good. I like
it
your
was.
Singing,
I
AP.
Mean, it was good.
Yeah.
Good job.
That was very beautiful. You got some really good stuff in there. And let me see if I can pick out my favorite part. But I can't pick out my favorite part. Well, just let's say all of it is my favorite. You did a good job, AP. You got a lot of guts, because I have poems that I want to sing, but then my husband reminds me that I'm not a singer. But
I'm not going to be here to remind you, so if that works.
Yeah. But I think I could sing some, you know. They're not going to, I'm no Stevie Nicks, but, you know, I could be a Janis Joplin. That's for sure. But,
yeah,
I could do that. Yeah. But very good, AP. Your words are lovely. The imagery is absolutely beautiful. And your lyrics... we're good, you know? Very good. Carmine, what did you think?
Well, I've written many lyrics. I mean, quite a few, and musicals, et cetera. And I want to say, he said he did a good job there. I mean, really good. And, of course, when he brings out, you know, the theme of his work, you can understand it, and you can appreciate it. And that's about, you know, that's about where... a song comes in, because if you can remember it in respect to not only the melody but also the lyric, then it becomes classic. So, well, just keep on writing, my friend. And
thank you.
It's
worthy. Yeah, it's worthy of a melody. That's it. Keep on going. I got news for
you,
too. You got...
yes.
You deserve a lot of credit for singing it without even any accompaniment. Now, that's a cappella, and that's not easy. So just keep right on, like Linda says.
That's right.
That's
all you can
wonderful.
Do.
That's wonderful. I really appreciate that.
That's cool. It's nice that you're so talented, AP. You're so well-versed, you know. You don't just write. You sing and do you dance?
No, I can't dance. So knock that off.
Oh. Okay. Oh. Yeah, sorry. I tease my husband all the time about that. Can he dance? Because, you know, now that he got his knee replaced, for a couple of weeks there, he was at my mercy. So.
There you go.
And when it was funny, when the therapist came out, they didn't know that he was an amputee. So they're like, oh, my God, how do we do these exercises when you've only got the bad leg, the knee replacement leg? Yeah, it was funny. But I tease him all the time. When he first lost his leg, my daughter, who was about 5, seriously, we were going to get shoes at the shoe store, and she looked up at me and said, "Where is Jerry going to buy his shoe?" I about lost it. But we have a lot of one brand new shoe laying around the house. No, he's got his prosthetic that he wears them on, so he uses them.
Yeah, exactly.
Anyway. So. But that's okay. I can't dance either.
Well,
and I have all my parts. Yeah. Well, you see, the problem is I don't know my right hand from my left hand. And so if somebody tells me go right, I automatically turn to the left. So
right. You
have to give me, like, better directions, like go south.
Yeah.
Go north, stuff like that I can understand.
Yeah.
But go left and right, I'm lost. So,
got it.
Makes it hard to dance. Anyway.
Indeed.
Now, what happened to my computer? I'm losing stuff. So I hope everybody has a lovely week. I'm probably not going to see you until after Thanksgiving, so you all have a very pleasant Thanksgiving. And how much time is left?
10 minutes. Remember?
10 minutes, okay. I lost my blog talk.
Not long at all.
There we go. There we go. Come up on my computer. Come on. No, that's not what I want. Ha-hum. It's not working.
Good question.
There we go. I found it. I'm back in the studio, guys.
Good news.
Oh. Yeah, we do have 10 minutes left. Well, and I'm almost out of jokes. What starts with an E, ends with an E, and only has one letter in it?
I.
You got that, Carmine?
Starts with an E, ends with an E, and only has one letter in it?
Yep.
I got that. I don't know.
An envelope.
Oh, okay.
Isn't that cool?
Yeah, that's true.
How do you drown a hipster?
Quickly.
I don't know why I drown
you know
a hipster. Quickly.
Yeah. Throw him in the mainstream.
Very nice.
Okay, that's different. God, I told all my jokes tonight. And have to
that's
pull some
thing.
More out. Yeah.
Well,
yeah, we haven't been telling
you,
a lot.
You did a great job.
How did that
you know,
work out?
Really. You know, when
you
it comes you know, when it comes to the jokes, if you can make people laugh with just a one-liner, I'm thinking you're doing pretty good.
Yeah. Yeah.
Agreed.
But I don't know how we did it. We had a comparable amount of poems this time, and we did all my jokes, and you guys told a lot of jokes, and we still have 8 minutes and 7 seconds to go.
That's called efficiency, Linda. That's what...
Yeah. We crammed it all in.
That's it? Exactly.
Right on. Yeah. Well, so what's everybody got planned for Thanksgiving?
Well, you know, Linda, I'll tell you, it doesn't matter whether it's cold, like in your case, 15 degrees, which probably can go down to much, much, much lower as compared to here, which is 80, 85 degrees. It's not the degrees that we have to endure, but it's life that we have to endure. And sometimes it gets very difficult, especially now with everything going on. But let me say one thing here. Above all things, whatever we endure, whatever problems we have, there's more thanksgiving that we should thank our Heavenly Father for that are insurmountable. They're really, if you get down to it, they're more than the number than the sands of the world. And so when we step back and look at ourselves, at our family, at what we have and what we've been blessed with, the thanksgiving has to all be capital. And that's what I extend to you and to the really our family of very creative people, that feeling. And may we constantly be blessed with it for all time. The old man says this with humility and appreciation.
Oh, that's sweet. Thank you. Yeah. Well, I don't know what you guys are doing, but I'm cooking a turkey for me and Jerry.
Hopefully.
We're going to get a little turkey and some mashed potatoes and rolls and broccoli and...
That's
go
beautiful.
For it. Yeah. I love making a big mess in my kitchen. I
Not
have
wrong
a kitchen
that.
Big enough to make a mess in. Yeah, you know, when I was living in the RV in L.A., there's no kitchen. It's a tiny little counter with a sink. But I made Thanksgiving dinners in there. And with the whole trimmings. And so now... When I got here and looked in the kitchen, I just went, wow, this is going to be fun. Yeah. So now I have fun making a big mess. It's awesome. Yeah. So what about you, AP?
Well, we of course, being in Australia, we don't have Thanksgiving.
Linda. We
that's right.
It's not separated. Yeah. So I will be, I'm sure, busy painting.
Yeah. Wow, I didn't even think of that.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, do you have anything that's comparable to like a Thanksgiving?
Not really, Linda. No, we don't. To be honest, no. No, we don't.
Well, that's okay. That's okay. Yeah, we needed a day to be thankful for it.
I agree. I think the idea of being thankful for things is a great thing. Yeah, absolutely.
With all the stuff the pilgrims went through, we need a day to be thankful.
Completely.
So that's about it.
Yep.
So I guess we're going to end this episode. I want to thank you guys. You always hang with me to the end. I love it. I love you guys for that. Gives me somebody to chat with, because it wouldn't be too cool if the last end of my show was me talking to myself. It wouldn't be funny. Anyway, alrighty then. So I want to say good night to y'all.
Good night, my dear. Good night,
Carmine.
Like I said,
I'll
may you continue to be blessed.
I'll be back the 8th.
Only to be given by this is who I am. Yep. It's 12 o'clock here now, dearest. So
I'll be back
to the 8th
and
the 15th. I'm going to have myself a nice hot cup of tea with some honey, and I'll be going to sleep. But being with you and our dearest of friends was inspiring. And so until we meet again, okay, the old man says, right on.
Fun guy.
Thank you, Carmine. All right, AP. Thanks, guys.
Good night, my dear.